Lesson 17, the Apocalyptic Four Horsemen. Also the beginning section 4, covering Revelation chapter 6 through 11, the awful judgments of the book. So we are looking at lesson 17. We are in the very beginnings of lesson 17 because we've added a little section just dealing with Daniel's 70 weeks to get us caught up prophetically as to where we are within that Daniel 70 week period. And so we've spent a little time, a couple weeks on that. We will today somewhat, really we're kind of out of that prophecy, but we will refer back to the little chart, our little timeline there that is our understanding of Daniel's 70 week prophecy. Again, because the last period of seven, the last week, if you will, the last heptad, however you want to call it, it's a period of seven. We believe it is 7 years, and so that last week, that last period of seven, we believe is the tribulation time, and it is the final fulfillment of that prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks as God is dealing with the Jews. And again, we've spent time in there because of the fact so many of the things during the tribulation have a Jewish flavor, and they deal with Jewish issues because it is God dealing with his people, the Jews. Now, obviously, the whole world is involved in that. Well, except what we're going to talk about today, we won't be involved with that. But the Gentiles as well as the Jews, Gentiles, when I refer to that, I mean the non-Jews, will certainly be caught up in the midst of that that conflict, that problem. But again, that's why I wanted to talk about it. It is because the tribulation, we always think of the tribulation as God dealing with unsaved people. And he is. I mean, I understand that is going on, but it is very, very Jewish in reference to biblically dealing with that last week, that last period of seven. So that's why we've paused and taken a little time to talk about that. And so I hope you'll kind of bear with us there. So if you need, everybody have lesson 17 and the chart. Is that Brother Collins back there? Pardon? He's back there. Okay, well, good. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, Brother Collins. And anyway, so if you need those things, I guess I'll have them. All right. Our memory verse, Revelation 6 and verse 2. Let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 6, 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6, 2. And again, Revelation 6, 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6, 2. Father, we thank you for our class time and pray it'll be profitable to each of us as we open up your word and we study some things out of the Bible. I pray you'll use it in our lives and we'll certainly be challenged and we'll also be excited, Lord, about the end times and about all that you have for us. But help us certainly not to lose sight of these times and what we need to be doing as Christians in these days. And so I pray you'll challenge us and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we continue discussing the Revelation chapter 6. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And we're about to see what I've entitled the Apocalyptic Four Horsemen. And we're about to deal with all of that. And I believe that that is the time we refer to as the tribulation. I believe that also is the 70th week in Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks that we studied years ago in the book of Daniel and that we have been reviewing quickly. We've kind of gone through it very, very fast, but it is that tribulation time. And this is, God is showing again, he's showing John the future, and we get to see it too, and that's always a blessing. The 70 weeks prophecy, of course, we learned very, very clearly was God dealing with his people, his holy city, the Jews, Jerusalem. And then our notes that we have for the 70-week prophecy and the timeline that we have. And so again, 70 weeks were determined in Daniel. 69 weeks, we've already gone through all this, have already taken place. And they ended, and then after that was, or I'm sorry, they ended with the, something to do with the Messiah, according to Daniel 9:25. And I've noted there that we believe is A.D. 32, or at least I believe that that was A.D. 32 around that time. And that is, that something that had to do with the Messiah was the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And so you see that on the timeline covering the whole period, the 69 weeks. We did get into the ancient Jewish calendar and talked about how that is 360 days per year rather than 365, and we came up with 173,880 days, and we took the date again from Nehemiah chapter 2, 445 BC, the decree to restore Jerusalem, and went forward 173,880 days and came to the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Again, there are charts, there are lots of different ways to look at the decrees to restore Jerusalem and different things like that. This one, again, to say this is, you know, I know this to be the truth and this is the exact time, it doesn't matter. We know the Messiah came, and we definitely, we know he came, and we know that he did what he was supposed to do. He died on the cross and rose again and paid the price for our sins. And again, as you study these things, there are some, they're just, people are going to, you say, well, I read a commentary, and they said, and that's okay. You know, I teach it the way that I believe it is, and whether anybody agrees or not, we're not going to get mad because we may look at a different chart or a different thing like that. So anyway, so we come to the end of those 69 weeks. The Bible said two things would happen after the 69 weeks or after that period. One, Messiah would be cut off, and you see that at the bottom of the chart where the cross is and then an arrow coming up. Daniel 9 and verse 26. So we knew that would be afterwards, didn't say when, just said after. And so Jesus dies on the cross. And then another event would take place according to Daniel 9, and that was also in verse 26, and that would be the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And that also took place afterwards, after the triumphal entry of Jesus. And that would be done by the people of the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come, I believe, refers to the Antichrist, who we are about to talk about in very, very graphic detail. And the people of the prince that shall come, who's his people? Well, our image of Daniel that we studied years ago is the legs were iron, and then the murky clay and iron mix. Obviously, there is an iron influence, which was the Roman Empire. So we call the feet the revived Roman Empire, and they are that those feet were iron and clay mixed. Therefore, there would be the Roman influence. So the people of the prince that shall come, we have ideas, and there's other references that we'll talk about, of the Antichrist obviously having a Roman influence as far as where he is from. And so his people then, the people of the prince that shall come, would destroy the temple in Jerusalem that did take place by the Roman Empire in A.D. 70. And of course, that already has taken place as well. So you see all of that. But now you come to this period of time that was not seen by Daniel, okay, because it has nothing to do with the Jews. Now, I'm not saying the Jews don't exist, because they do. I'm not like the Democrats, let's vote them in. You know, I'm just saying that it was not, it did, that period of time had nothing to do with the 70 weeks and God dealing with the Jews. God is certainly dealing with the Jews to this day, God, as he deals with all of us. But the point is, the church age, and we call it that, it could be called many things, but we'll call it that for the sake of terminology. That was not seen by Daniel, and that is a period of time that came after the 69 weeks. So a person would think, well, we have 69 weeks, and the 70th week should come right after. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, and it does not have to come right after it. And obviously, it has not taken place after. We're all totally messed up in all of our eschatology, which I don't think we are. So there's 1 week left. Now, the mystery is the church age and the idea of when will this start. There is no way of knowing because the start of that 70th week, that last period of seven, which is 7 years, the start of that, there is nothing given as to a date, no idea. And that's because the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord in the clouds to call us up, there's no date. That is, we use the word imminence, okay? It is imminent. It can happen anytime. You like the song, "It Could Happen in a Moment, in the Twinkling of an Eye." I like that. But anyway, it could happen now. It could happen 5 minutes from now. It could happen an hour from now. It could happen 100 years from now. We don't know. Don't know the time. And by the way, what a exciting thought that is. And sometimes we're looking for him, should be all the time looking for him. Sometimes though, we're kind of asleep, you know. I don't think he's coming. Anyway, and it's always been that way. It always will be that way, I think, among us because we are human. But then you get to the rest of the chart there and we deal with that 1 week. And we see in Daniel 9:27, there will be a covenant made, and then we have the covenant broken in the midst of that week. And again, remember, the week is seven. It's a period of seven years. Okay, so there will be a covenant for 1 week, 7 years. There will be a covenant made. In other words, there is going to be some kind of a political agreement, if you will, that is going to take place whereby there will be a covenant made. There will be a peace. You hear about peace treaties, and they're negotiating peace treaties all the time and all of that. Well, according to Daniel, during whenever that time starts, okay, when that takes place, there's going to be a deal made. Now, again, we have to get in our minds, we don't have to. We can simply accept it and realize that's the next thing to take place, the rapture and the subsequent tribulation start. Or we can start getting in our minds. I take the things Brother Glenn Harnden gives me, and you can, you see the conspiracy, and you have to weed through that. I so appreciate Glenn. He helps me so much with all that. With some of the conspiracy theories and all that. And somebody said, do you get into that? There is one conspiracy. There is one conspiracy, and it comes right out of hell. All right? Now, off of that comes all kinds of stuff. Do we agree on that? There is just one conspiracy, and that's out of hell. And that conspiracy is to overthrow God. And now that isn't going to work, and we know that's not going to work, but, it is certainly all of that has been going on for multitudes of years, and that conspiracy of Satan, he has been aligning his allies for years and years and continues to do so, and this covenant that will be made is going to be like so many of the covenants that are being made even today. It means absolutely nothing. So in the midst of it, the covenant will be broken. And this covenant, of course, will be made with Israel and with no intent by the Antichrist to keep that covenant, no intent to be true to that covenant. In fact, the whole thing is a setup, obviously, to conquer. And then, of course, this is where we get the 3.5 years. We talked about that, and we will talk about it more from the book of Revelation. Again, the 3.5 years being a period of 1,260 days. That, again, goes back to that calendar of 360 days instead of 365 days in a year. So we'll again, we deal with all that. 42 months, which is half that time. 42 months times 30 days, 1,260 days. But anyway, we'll get to all that. So that is basically this, and it can help you or it could totally confuse you. And I don't really want you to be confused. We just really don't have time to spend a lot of time on that. But I want you to have it. Certainly, if you have questions, Brother Harnden has come. We've talked about a couple things. And I want to try to help, and I want to discuss these things with you. If you have questions, just bring them to me. Perhaps not right after a service, like Brother Harnden does, or not right before. But let's sit down and you buy a meal, and let's sit down and talk whenever. But anyway, it is always good to talk about the things of God. There's never anything wrong with that. That's a good thing, and. And that's okay. So here's the church age. We have to deal with that. And I have what I did. I told you to take notes on the back of your little timeline because you're not going to have room on lesson 17 unless you do it in the corners and everything. And these are the notes I've just now covered. I have this little paragraph left, but that's all extra. All right. So it's all extra credit, if you will. But I only have that much left. In dealing with that church age, and again, we cannot spend a lot of time on it. What does Revelation say about the rapture? Not a lot. There's just not a whole lot in Revelation. But we have to deal with it. Now, we have to deal with God dealing with the Jews, okay? Are we Jews? We are not Jews. And so, again, we are going to... There are many arguments, and I've gone through all of those, or many of those. When we were in Daniel talking about the rapture of the church, there are people that want to argue, the rapture is going to take place in the middle of the tribulation, and or at the end of the tribulation, and all these different things. We believe the rapture is the next thing to take place. We are pre-trib, pre-millennial. We believe the rapture is going to take place before all of this bad stuff. Now, does that mean we're not going to see any bad stuff? No. No way in this world. And here's why. Because Christians have always, in our world, received bad stuff. Okay, Christians are going through tribulation in our world as I speak. People in other countries, Christians, I'm talking about Christians, are persecuted. The things in tribulation that we will talk about, those things are happening in other countries to Christians. You go to Muslim countries and the persecution, it will blow your mind. You say, CNN doesn't report. No, they don't, do they? Huh. Anyway, folks, I hope you know that the media is not necessarily determined to always tell the truth. And I hope you also know that their job anymore is not just reporting. I hope you understand that. I hope we now realize that just because the newspaper said it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Or just because Tom Brokaw said it doesn't necessarily mean, I don't even know if he still does all that stuff, or if he's alive, I don't know. But anyway, just because they said it. I had somebody's best argument recently. They said, well, I got it off the internet. And I just looked at him like, you've got to be kidding me. Just because it's off the internet, look, this right here, your King James Bible, you can trust this, okay? It hadn't changed, and it's not changing, okay? We can trust it. You've got to be, in our day and age, we have to be very, very careful. I am dealing, truth is what stands, and truth is all that matters. Just because somebody said it, have you ever been accused of anything that wasn't true? Okay, just because somebody says it doesn't mean it's true. Truth is really all that matters. And so as we deal, and by the way, understand that deception is going to be one of the biggest problems of the tribulation. How could people follow an antichrist? I mean, we've all heard the mark of the beast. Why would anybody take that? Look around. Look at what Christians sell out for. Look around, folks. Honestly. Well, what can I get? Man is still man. And man will, the Bible says, we're going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse and worse. Man will be worse and worse. And I will show you today a couple things that will show you why the tribulation will be worse and worse, and why also deception will rule, clearly rule. Now listen to me. I have the Holy Spirit of God inside in my life, and I hope He has all of me. That's what being filled by the Spirit is, okay? I have all of the Holy Spirit I'm ever going to have. The only question is, does He have all of me? Does He have all of you? And the Holy Spirit of God, He guides us into truth. And He helps us as long as we're listening to Him and we're not grieving Him and we're not quenching Him. You should never shh the Holy Spirit. Okay, never. And as long as we're not doing that, we can see through some of these things. We can see through. I so appreciate Brother Harnden's paper. In fact, Brother Harnden, I was talking, Brother Hayes and I were talking, and I told him about what you do for me and everything, and he says, could he publish that for me? And I said, no. but anyway, you just need more to do, don't you? But you have to understand that seeing through some of them, and Brother Harnden, he'll make little notes and things, and a lot of times he's very sarcastic. I have no idea where he gets all that, but it's just a perception that I think God gives us, where we can see through these things and we can understand, and then we can have some influence with other people, and we do have that. Understand that the tribulation time, the deception, the lies, the peace treaty, the covenant, all of that. Try to imagine a world minus that influence, minus the influence of God and God's people who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And so this key event that I believe will start the seven-year tribulation. Now again, time, well, exactly when the rapture takes place, is it going to be sevenfold? There could be argument that way and all, but again, I believe the rapture is next, and I believe that the tribulation starts. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 is one of our verses, and again, we're not going to get into this a lot. We're going to get into it as it deals especially with the Antichrist, because that is the next character that we deal with in the book of Revelation, and I hope you don't mind the time that has been spent leading up to that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So you're standing in the cemetery, and this happens, will you see bodies floating through the sky? Will cemeteries, tombs break forth and bodies come out? And, it's going to happen so fast, I don't think that we would be necessarily with our iPhones taking pictures, because it's going to happen so fast. But it's going to happen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, this is not the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is when he comes to the earth. This is the what we call the rapture. We meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This isn't a passage that I read. Just read it yesterday at the service for Erna Ford. And these are words of comfort. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, talking about those who have died. And again, it is telling us that it's not always going to be that way. And of course, I go to gravesides and understand that we're going to have a new body someday. And it's going to be a glorified body. It's going to be a body like the glorified Jesus. And it's going to be a sinless body. It's going to be a pure body. And it's going to be a never dying body. And we get tired and we get weary and we ache and we have pains and we do something and we used to do it all the time and now we do it once and we're dying afterwards. It's like, and that's never going to be again with a new body that we're going to have. And so the rapture, we just go. So the rapture takes place now, and to me it's like this, blink, gone. I don't remember the twinkling. Who knows the twinkling? How fast is that? Brother Chase would. He would know. One thousandth of a second or something like the twinkle when your eye twinkles. Of course, our twinkling is a lot slower now that we're older. But anyway, it's boom, just like that. Now, again, it can happen anytime. Okay, you say, well, I'm going to be ready. And that's what he said for us to do, is be ready. Now, you think being ready is to, you know, have on your jumping shoes or whatever. That isn't what being ready is. Being ready is being busy, doing what you're supposed to be doing when that takes place. Being ready. It's like an inspection. You're at a factory, inspection, you're waiting, you know, the inspector's coming, but you don't know when he's coming. What's that mean? It means just be ready all the time, all the time. It's an exciting thought. And so it will happen like that. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. And here it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And again, a reference to what we refer to as the rapture. The word rapture is not found in the scripture, but this is a word, a Latin word, that is used to describe what is going to take place. We have coined the phrase, or we've used the phrase over and over. You hear it. If you're a new Christian, maybe you've heard it in reference to someone preaching about the coming of Christ. And so that is what that's about. It is a key event. Now, Daniel say anything about it? Well, no, Daniel, it was not seen in the 70-week prophecy. It was not seen, but it is seen as we deal with different things in Revelation, as we deal with different things. Again, a picture of it. We talked about this with John. Come up hither, and John's there. Boom. You know, how did John get, how did that, well, it was a rapture-like event in John's life, and we talked about that earlier as we were in Revelation, and it is going to be very similar to that. 2 Thessalonians 2:1, a word is used. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, a gathering, and you can put that, maybe put an underline there. There is another reference. And he says in verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, the people were troubled that they missed it. They were troubled that this rapture, this time for them, that somehow it had already come. By the way, these kinds of things have gone on for years. We've had predictions. We've seen When was 1844? October of 1844, correct? That was the wasn't that the first one? Oh, there have been so many. You know, why can't I think of the cult that Seventh-day Adventists, and you know, put robes on, robes of white, sell everything you have, and put on your robes, put your cows in robes, and go up on the hill, and you know, and that's been going on for years. And then people say, well, it did take place, but it didn't happen this way. And the latest, you know, trying to dismiss this and just, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm so glad God made it clear that we would not know the day nor the hour, and just made it clear. You know, no man knows it. So anyway, but these people were troubled that they missed it. These people were, you know, that the day of Christ was at hand, the day that he sets up his kingdom. It's at hand. No. He says, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. And this is what's key right here. That day shall not come. Don't let anybody deceive you, because that day shall not come. Christ is not, you know, his coming, his second coming, his setting up his kingdom, that day shall not come until two things take place. Two things have to happen first, okay? That day is not going to happen. You are going to know. And the first thing he says that is going to take place, these are found here in 2 Thessalonians. Again, we're talking about them because, again, the idea that we can set... get some idea of what is about to take place. And so those things cannot happen. Ushers, if you'll come, because I'm going to get on a roll here and try to cover this real quick. He says, those things, there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, now we refer to him as the Antichrist, okay? The word here for a falling away, okay? There's going to be a falling away first. Now, I have heard that preached over and over and over again, and I may have preached it. I don't know that the falling away is talking about a religious falling away. And it very well can mean that. It's the word is apostasio, which means departure, okay? So it's certainly not a stretch to say that religiousness or Christianity, whatever, is going to falter. I'm not going to argue that. But I think also we need to be realistic in the fact that he's talking about the gathering together unto him. He's talking about the thing that they were disturbed about, and that was that perhaps they had missed something somewhere and they had been left behind, because, again, this idea that first there's going to be a falling away first, there's going to be an apostasio first, there's going to be a departure first, and I think that could be referring to the rapture. That first the rapture is going to take place before the Antichrist is presented. Now, again, I'm using terminology here that it helps us to understand. If the rapture were to take place tomorrow, if the tribulation started tomorrow, obviously the Antichrist is already somewhere. He is already very powerful somewhere. But as far as his rise to power as the son of perdition or the man of sin be revealed in a global kind of a setting, that, you know, is not going to take place until this departure, this apostasio, until that takes place. Okay, so before the Antichrist, this departure is going to happen. That, according to our timeline, that'd be before the beginning of this 70th week. That would be before the beginning of the tribulation, before the rider on the white horse appears, there will be a departure. Now, you say, well, I'm just going to stick with that being religiousness or Christianity or revival or whatever. And so again, that's okay, that's fine. But the point is, this is going to happen first. Again, these are words of comfort to the people. Hey, you didn't miss it. okay? You were not left behind. You were not wrong in your thinking. By the way, people were looking for Jesus anytime. New Testament Christians, they were looking for him. They were waiting on his return anytime, more so than you and I are, by far. It's not even close. I mean, they looked for him. They looked for his return. They were excited about it. Okay, so this idea, this teaching came out, this thinking came out, and so obviously Paul is trying to put at rest this idea that don't be troubled, don't worry about this, you did not miss it, because here is what's going to happen first. There will be a departure first, and then the Antichrist. Because again, just like in our days, there are Antichrists all over the place. Not the Antichrist, but there are tons of Antichrists. There are some are total fruitcakes, some are satanic, and they're evil. Again, why? Well, because to confuse people. God is not the author of confusion. He hates confusion. And yet, would you say our world is confused? Oh, you better believe it. So, before the Antichrist, before the 70th week, before the tribulation, apostasio, there will be a departure. And so you say it's describing Christianity. Well, do you think after the rapture, Christianity there will be a departure? Can you imagine? This church might become a dance hall. Who's gonna keep it a church? You say, well, Brother Hollins will be here. But, just kidding. But, anyway. Boy, people don't even smile about it. It's like, don't mess with Brother Hollins. But, by the way, until you've seen your church where you surrendered to preach, where you were made most of your decisions, where God spoke to your heart, where God dealt with you, where you grew in the Lord, until you see that church turn into a dance hall, Till you walk in and you see the dance floor where you knelt and surrendered your life to God, it's hard to grasp how people could depart so much and the damage sin can do. But that's what I saw with our church. It became an American Legion, the place where I surrendered to preach. Not that I surrendered to preach at the American Legion at a dance hall. Yeah, Brenda and I were dancing. I think God will call me. Anyway, all right. I'm just trying to help you laugh just a little bit today. But anyway, there's a following away. And then watch this, and we'll end here. And I'm going to hit this real hard next week because we got to move. Okay, so it talks about the man of sin, and we'll get into all of this. The son of perdition who opposeth and exalteth himself above all, and so on and so forth and all that. Now notice what verse 6 says. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Antichrist wants to be revealed. He wants to do his thing. He wants to have power. He is satanically inspired. He wants to conquer. He wants to destroy. He is evil personified. Okay, well, so he's 35 years old and becoming strong and has these goals and has these ideals. He's 40 years old. He's 50. Whatever. He's a human empowered by Satan. By the way, there's a lot of humans empowered by Satan. Don't be deceived, folks. Till you've dealt with a demon-possessed person. By the way, they're not all foaming at the mouth. Some are very happy to be in that state. But see, I get off on tangents. But what's going to stop him? What is stopping him when he's 25 years old and he's already starting to get this power? What is stopping him as he makes deals with companies or with countries or whatever he's doing? We don't know where he is. What is stopping him from doing it whenever he wants to do it? Well, there's the Holy Spirit dwelling in believers. Now, ultimately, it's God that is stopping him because God's timing is perfect. What stops Satan from crushing you? What stops him from putting a stop to whatever you're trying to do for Lou? What stops him from you going soul winning on Saturday? You know, he's going to try to stop you. Well, what stops him? He may send semis headed your way, you know, as you're driving down the road, and God says, no, you're not going to do that. It's God ultimately, but the Holy Spirit, verse 6, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now that was in Paul's time. The mystery of iniquity was already working, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. See, the mystery of iniquity is already working in Paul's day, but he's restrained. How is he restrained? He's restrained by the Holy Spirit of God in believers. Okay, what's that mean? Does that mean, look, it could be as simple as how you vote. I'm not calling people the Antichrist. I'm just saying, you know, it's how we vote. It's how we act. It's what we say. It's what we preach. It's running our buses. It's going soul winning. It's handing out gospel tracts. It's what we believe. It's our shepherd's ministry. It's Berean Baptist Academy. It's all the things that the Holy Spirit tells us as we are led by him. He tells us, do this. And all those things together, all over this world of Christian believers that have the Holy Spirit in them, and that restrains the restored Roman Empire from rising until it's time to rise. You ever scratch your head? I know Brother Glenn and I, and I'm sure others, but I sometimes I scratch my head and I say, why don't they just go ahead and do it? Do you ever wonder that? The evil is so present. I don't know if it was you or somebody recently said, do you understand how we are surrounded by Islam? Do you realize they're talking about their Sharia law being allowed in the United States? Do you understand? There's talk about all that kind of stuff. How can they even talk about that? Folks, you got to understand. So I watch the news and I listen to some of this stuff and I think, what's stopping them? And then I'm reminded, he is. He is stopping them. And can you start to feel it now? And you it's building, isn't it? It's just building. It's like they talk about a hurricane that's way out in the Gulf of Mexico or out in the middle of the ocean or something, and it's just building, and it's building that wave, you know, and just pushing that wall of water that just picks up force. And I feel that in our world today. It's just building. And all these things. And you say, you mean I'm a part of the restraint? Yes, you are. Sure you are. Yeah. The fair ministry, that's part of the restraint. Master clubs, that's part of the restraint. You know, our missions conference, that's part of the restraint. Why? Well, because we're trying to get people saved all across the world. All the ends of the world. That's the title of our conference. And see, when you start to look at that, to me, anyway, it just becomes so real as to our obligation and our opportunity to make a difference. Of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear. It is why we're here, to make a difference. It is why we're here, to be part of the restraint. Now, I say all that because, to me, the worst thing about the tribulation is we're gone. Not the worst thing, but it just starts to make sense. We're not here. Whoever it is, the leaders, the voters, the influence, whatever you want to call it, we're not here. The voice of reason. How about that? I like that. Voice of reason. We're not here. Every now and then you hear a lawmaker actually say something that's true and makes sense. Not here. It ought to make you, if you have a lost loved one, I don't know how you sleep, honestly. I do not know how you sleep till you do everything you can to get them saved. If you have a lost coworker, a neighbor, somebody you even remotely care about, I'm not saying that's our only obligation. I'm just saying if you know somebody that's lost and you don't do something, you know. Tribulation. It is, we cannot even imagine how bad it is. I just think as I see the boiling and how the pot is about to explode, I think, wow, I can see how bad it's going to be. And we haven't got into it yet. It is tribulation. It is great tribulation that this world is going to see. Father, I thank you so much for your word and words of comfort and peace. But I pray we would not rest on the comfort that we have, that we would recognize there are so many in our world who don't have that comfort, don't have that peace, don't have the Savior. And I pray we would recognize our responsibility to restrain the powers of evil, not with our own words, but Lord, with your word and the power that comes from it. And I pray that you would help us to have wisdom and guidance as we have an election coming up. Lord, to vote the way you would have us to vote, to realize how important it is that we take advantage of the liberty that we have. Please, God, bless our nation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.